The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, March the 3rd. Make sure to leave a five-star review coming up on Friday. In the feed, we have AFC South priorities. Coming up, we'll have NFC South priorities on Thursday. Then Friday, of course, we will have a mailbag. If you leave a mail, if you leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will answer any question you have. You can even ask us about Pete Prisco's top 100 free agent list, which we'll discuss today. Pete, what's up, buddy?
What is going on? How is the skiing?
Oh, it was fantastic. Well, I mean, it was actually a ripoff because we bought a day pass thinking the adults would go back out. Didn't happen.
Why? Too tired?
Kids got sick of it. We went tubing instead. Snow tubing.
Snow tubing was great. I've done that before.
Yeah. But it's weird. So like, it's obviously fake snow because we're in North Carolina and, you know,
wasn't it? Did you go to Boone? Did you go to Boone?
Yeah, to Boone. To, Banner Elk, actually, but next to Boone. And, the Sugar Mountain Golf Course is where they do the tubing. So you're like coming back up and to your left is this snow and to the right is like this, like, pristine fairway.
When I was at ASU, a bunch of us went to Flagstaff and we went snow tubing and we just got on hills where there were trees and stuff. We were crazy.
Jeez.
And they were like that. And so if you saw, and we do them with truck tires. So you know how big those are. So if you saw your buddy down on the bottom of the hill and he's standing there talking to somebody, you tried to let your tube down, lock him down like a bowling pin and flip him off. We were so fearless. We didn't care. Now I wouldn't do that.
No, absolutely.
Trees. You're going down where the trees are. It's crazy.
We had a four wheeler when we were kids, and during snow days, we would build a ramp and you would attach a sled to the back. Somebody would gas it and then peel and you'd let go at the last second and go flying off the ramp. Like if I saw Rob, my son, doing that, I'd be like, what the hell is the matter with you? Like, what
right.
Are you doing?
We used to, you know, when I was in Pennsylvania, when we were kids, we used to like mat down the snow on a hill and then let the water go. So it would ice over. So it would end up like a luge track. We were crazy. Never do that now.
No, you shouldn't do that. What you should do though is listen to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 podcast. Excuse me. It's a new podcast that's joining the family for years. Fantasy Baseball Today has been delivering league winning analysis and advice as part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Now the team is coming at you fast with a brand new feed. Don't worry. The old one stays the same. This one is a 5-minute blitzkrieg about fantasy baseball. It's Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 and it's your audio outlet for fantasy news and advice in 5 minutes or less. It'll feature familiar voices like Frank Stanfill, Scott White, and Chris Towers as they break down what matters most to help you win your league in a quick hitting format. Available first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Download, subscribe to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, your smart speakers, anywhere else podcasts are found. The podcast is actually shorter than the read I just did for the podcast, but I digress. It's also probably shorter than it would take. You can listen to that podcast faster than you could read Pete's top 100 free agent list, which at last check, Pete, is over 4,200 words long. That is substantial.
It took a long time to do that. Let's just say that.
It's a huge pain in the ass. I mean,
it's hard.
And like, this is the one thing that now I think, just to give a quick overview on it, the one thing I noticed going through the list is that when the franchise tags get applied, and teams aren't even bothering with these tags until the last second, it feels like, this year. When those tags get applied, this free agent class might kind of suck.
Yeah, it will suck. But there's also going to be a lot of good, solid players. I don't think the money's going to be crazy this year. I really don't. And you could start with the top. Dak Prescott's number one for the second year in a row. He's going to get tagged.
Right.
If he doesn't get a new deal, he's getting tagged. Number two on my list, probably people will open their eyes because it's probably a little surprising, but it's Leonard Williams. I don't know if he's going to get tagged, but he probably will. So he's off the list.
I don't think Dave Gettle can let him go. Like, he's too.
He played too well last year. Yeah. Okay, go down the list, and we can go
Chris
through.
Chris Godwin getting tagged.
Correct.
Brandon Scherff and Trent Williams might hit the open
market. Brandon Scherff, I think they're going to try and get a deal done before that. They might tag him.
Trent Williams can't be tagged.
He's going to hit the market unless they get a new deal done with him.
But he can't be tagged. Yeah, exactly. No, so
right.
But then like Allen Robinson, Justin Simmons.
Probably going to get tagged.
Taylor Moten, Kenny Galladay, all these guys are.
Yeah, I don't know if Galladay is going to get tagged.
Oh, interesting.
Well, somebody told me that in a league that he might not get tagged, but.
Wow. Well, let's dive into it position by position but we'll start with the quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, he's your number one player on this list. The next closest quarterback is Jameis Winston at 42. And so when you take Dak off, because he will get tagged, all of a sudden the quarterback list is Jameis, Cam Newton, and Andy Dalton. It's the same three guys from last year.
Fitzpatrick, who was on the bottom of it. But, yeah, and that's why I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday, and they were saying, my gosh, if you don't have a quarterback, you have big problems if you're like a team that can't get into the top two or three. Right. You're going to have problems filling that position. And so when you look at, again, it goes back to why the Cowboys need to lock up Dak Prescott to a long-term deal, why the Texans should never trade Deshaun Watson, and why Seattle should never trade Russell Wilson. Once you have them, don't get rid of them.
Do you think there's any chance that Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott end up in getting swapped out?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do
even
not.
At like a post June 1st trade where Dak hasn't.
Who wins that trade? One team gets the younger quarterback. It's an easy win for Seattle.
Oh, I mean, Seattle will have to deal with the cap ramifications of.
If you're rebuilding, do you want to, what is Russell now? 31?
Yeah. I mean, you're taking Dak over Russell. 10 times out of 10, I think if you're building for the long haul, if you're trying to win this year, I'd rather have Russell, I think. Yes, definitely.
I thought you said Deshaun for Russell.
No, Dak for Russell.
No, yeah.
Well, the logic there is that the Cowboys franchise tag Dak. They won't make him the second highest paid quarterback in football. Russell Wilson is irate with his team. We get to June 2nd. And Russ hadn't reported and Dak hadn't reported. And the two sides are like, all right.
What are they going to do, sit out?
No, but I'm saying if you're Seattle, if you're Dallas, you think you can win now and you can get Russell Wilson as your quarterback. And if you're Seattle, you're like, all right, Russ hates us. Dak will be awesome in our system. Let's make the swap.
No, I'm not swap. They both need to figure out how to keep the two of them, period.
Okay. Do you think a Dak deal gets done or does he play on the tag this year?
I think they'll get a deal done.
They need to.
He needs to too.
I guess.
Because you want your money.
He blew out his ankle. He's still going to get $40 million a year. Like, it doesn't matter.
What if he blew out his knee and he wasn't the same guy? I mean, there's always reason enough to get the money when you can get it.
Yeah, but I don't think you take less just because.
What's less? What are you going to get? He should get Deshaun Watson's money at least.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if the Cowboys want to give him like $33.5 million a year or something, or $35 million a year.
What did Deshaun get? Deshaun got 39, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, if you're Dak, you don't take less than Deshaun. You have better.
But you can't get Mahomes money because he's not Mahomes.
Nobody is. That's fine.
Right.
Mahomes' contract is like Calvin Johnson's wide receiver contract was. It's just going to be this weird outlier that nobody messes with.
Right. And that's what everybody says around the league too. They said, thank God Mahomes did that because it sets the bar for the rest of the quarterbacks.
It sets the ceiling. Exactly.
Right.
So Deshaun got 4 years, $156 million. I mean, give Dak 44, 160 seems pretty easy.
I'm not giving him four. That's part of my problem. I'll give him six.
Okay. Six for 220, 240.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, but I'm not giving them four. I want them around.
Okay. All right. Where do these other guys land? I mean,
I think Winston's going to go back to New Orleans.
Is that what the Saints want?
I think ideally they'd like him back and compete with Taysom Hill, which means he'll be the starting quarterback.
I mean, do you think New Orleans is trying to get involved? I mean, it's so hard.
They can't. They have so much cap issues. I mean, they're going to have to let good players go. No. I don't. They still got to get under. They're way over. They got a lot of work to do. So no, I don't think they're involved in it in any
way. And so it makes, like, what kind of deal do you think we're looking at for Jameis? Just a, I mean, like a, another 1 year contract, like come back, let's see how it goes. And
no, I think they'll try and get him a because if they give him a 1 year deal, the cap figure might give him a three year deal, spread it out. They'll be able to do that.
I mean,
I think he wants to play and I think he likes being there. That makes sense. Well, here's one. Somebody mentioned Teddy Bridgewater going back to him.
Yeah, I heard that. It only works if the Panthers and big brass balls David Tepper go out and get Deshaun Watson or
he's trying.
Or Russell. I know he is, right?
Yeah, he's trying. He wants the quarterback. He wants to get Watson. But what do you give up for him?
Two first, Brian Burns and Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, I'm not doing that if I'm the Texans.
Okay, three first and Brian Burns?
Still, I probably not do that. And by the way,
Christian McCaffrey and 3 second round picks.
If you, no, what are you kidding me? By the way, let's just say the Panthers trade 3 ones, McCaffrey and Brian Burns for Watson. Is Watson in a better situation than he is? Much better situation than he is with the Texans? Cause that team's going to be depleted.
Same thing with the Jets. You trade the Jets for a bunch of first round picks. I mean, they have more first round picks, but
I think Darnold still has a chance to get peddled, which means you hear that somebody in there, people in the organization like Zach Wilson, people in the other people like to keep Darnold. And so what happens there? If Darnold gets peddled, I think he goes to San Francisco, which sets off where does Jimmy Garoppolo go? Does he go back to New England? That kind of scenario. If the Jets are committed to drafting Zach Wilson at number two.
Okay. The Saints, by the way, they're $66 million over the cap.
Yeah. They got work to do. Marcus Williams is walking away. They can't pay him. So they have issues.
I mean, they're going to have to cut Quan Alexander, cut Janoris Jenkins.
He's an easy cut. Janoris Jenkins is a tough cut.
I'm just saying, like, you save this $13 million.
You have to restructure a bunch of contracts, you know, extend guys.
I mean, what about Ryan Ramczyk and Marshawn Lattimore?
Well, you got to extend them.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I guess you can.
That's where cash comes in. You got to have cash too. That's another thing. Yeah. Remember, some of these teams aren't as flush with cash as they normally would be because they didn't have any fans in the stands and they didn't make that much money. You know, it's one thing to talk about the cap, but it's cash. How many teams can handle the cash?
Right. Not a ton. Exactly. Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, backups, starters.
They might get an opportunity somewhere. Can you see Washington making a little play for Dalton? I mean,
or Cam?
I don't think Cam's in play there. Cause of Rivera and.
Oh, you think the Rivera and Hurdy thing keeps him away from Cam?
Yeah, I don't think they go get Cam. I think that's more of a maybe they'll go get Dalton or Fitzpatrick or somebody like that if they can't get a guy in the draft.
Cam isn't really a fit for Scott Turner's offense. Like he was good for Norv when Norv was there that 1 year before Cam hurt his shoulder. Right. But like and Andy Dalton is a perfect fit for that Turner offense.
So is Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year. But again, you're not solving your quarterback situation. But the guys they got there aren't the answer. Heinicke and Kyle Allen. Come on, give me a break.
Well, but I don't know if you heard, they're cutting Alex Smith. It's huge breaking news.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All hands.
He's a free agent too. He'll wind up in Jacksonville as the backup.
That's what I said. And it has to, right? Like he's Urban's guy. Because
he's Urban's guy. B, he's a really good guy. And he would be really good for a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And Gardner Minshew can't be a backup quarterback to Trevor Lawrence because it's just not going to work.
Right. Too much swag in that quarterback room, right?
No, too much. Too much. He thinks he should be playing and he shouldn't be.
So the quarterbacks drop off there. You're going to see those guys. Cam is interesting to me just because he was so bad, but did have some good moments. He is like a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't think he's going to get in, but you know, he's a guy that has upside if he's healthy and is playing well, but I just don't know where he fits.
He could still go back to New England.
True.
I mean, Patriots
fans would be pissed.
Yeah, he could still go back there.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell you who the top wide receiver will be after the franchise tags are applied. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
Okay, so three wide receivers in your top 10. Chris Godwin, 3. Allen Robinson, 7. Kenny Galladay, 10. And then there's a drop-off, but plenty of talent. Those three guys, you mentioned before, you think you've heard...
I don't know if Galladay's definitely getting the tag. I think Godwin will if he doesn't get a deal. Godwin and Robinson will get the tagged if they don't get deals, which is highly unlikely, so they'll probably be tagged. I don't know if Galladay will. Again, he's coming off an injury-plagued season. He's a good player, but is he a franchise receiver? That's, you know, some people will say no. Some would say yes. Some guy in the league told me he thought he was, you know, a one trick pony, just go deep and win balls. So I like Kenny Galladay, but I don't know if they tag him, but he could be. So if he's tagged, there's three right off the top. They're gone.
All right. So my thing would be if I'm Detroit, I don't want to give him a contract because I don't think the Lions are in the spot to be locking up Kenny Gall, you know what I mean?
Because if you want him around, you give him a contract. He's a young guy.
Yeah, I just feel like they need to just hit the whole reset button.
So you're letting him go then?
I would tag him. I think if I tag him, I can get a better pick in return in a trade than I can.
Oh, you're talking about tag and trade him then?
Tag and trade versus compensatory pick. I think you could get a late second, early third.
Remember, the team trading for him is also going to have to pay him too. So you're going to trade for him with the,
they have to have enough cap room to take the tag on. Right. And can't use their tag on anybody else.
It's going to be a problem. So no,
could you transition tag him?
You could.
See if anybody is interested.
Right.
So Galladay hitting the market would be interesting though. He might end up getting a decent contract. If he's the only one.
Yeah. Of those three. Yes.
Yeah.
Then it goes drop down. There's other guys on it. I mean, there's guys that somebody's going to hit one of those because they're an ascending player, like Corey Davis.
Right.
Could he, you know, somebody where, and Juju.
What Juju, about Juju Smith-Schuster?
One scares me a little because he doesn't run. He's not fast. What did he average last year? 8.9 per catch, I think it was.
It was crazy. It fell off a cliff all of a sudden, even with Big Ben back. But some of that was their offense running just all underneath stuff.
But still, does he scare you?
Yeah, as a number two, yes. Not as a number one.
Well, you're going to have to pay him like a number one.
Mm. If you were the Jets, would you sign Juju Smith-Schuster?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I would not.
Mm. Where does Juju – he's not getting tagged. Where does he land?
As a number two for a team that has a good number one, probably who has money. Where's that?
Green Bay? They don't have money.
He,
He'd be good with Devontae working underneath.
But there's no Devontae's not a burner either.
Yeah, true.
You need speed.
I'm just trying to think who works. That's why the Jets to me make a little bit of sense, because Darnold works. Didn't they play together at USC and he works well underneath, or they were at least close at USC. So that kind of makes sense. But
I mean, like, New England needs a receiver, but they don't need a receiver who can't run.
Right. They got plenty of those guys.
Juju's a darn good player. He just doesn't scare you down the field.
What if you sign the combo of Juju Smith-Schuster and Will Fuller?
Well, then you got a guy who can run and a guy who, but again, there's questions with him too. He doesn't stay on the field. He's got a suspension he's just coming off of. So there's issues with him too.
You got Fuller down there in the 40s. He's got to serve one game suspension, and he's only been healthy when he was using PEDs. So that's sort of like a couple of red flags there.
I think you're better off taking less, like paying less money for a guy like Kendrick Bourne.
Hmm. Is he on the list?
Yeah, he's down at the bottom, I think, but.
Okay.
He was. I might have taken him off, but.
Sorry. He is 98 now.
Yeah. So again, had his best season. He's 26 years old. I always go back and I can relate this because I was there, but Keenan Cardell was signed as a free agent from the Browns, and he did very little for Cleveland, but he was at that right age and Coughlin saw something in him and he ended up being a hell of a receiver in Jacksonville. If you're going to look for receivers try and get guys that are on the rise that you might not have to pay that much money for. He's not going to be a number one, but Juju Smith-Schuster's not a number one either. Corey Davis isn't a number one either. No. So you're going to end up paying number one receiver money for those guys when the reality is they're not number one receivers.
Is the receiver draft? See, I almost think with the way the salary cap is, with the level of talent on these wide receivers and the amount of wide receivers in the draft, maybe we see these guys all have to sort of suck it up and take 1 year or cheaper deals.
Well, you're going to have three receivers going to the top 10 of the draft.
Chase, Smith, and Waddle.
Correct. No doubt. Three of them. Yeah. And is
top,
a good
top 10, top 10.
Top 10. Top 10. They're all three will be gone.
You have three wide receivers and three quarterbacks in the top 10. Then.
Four. Probably.
Four in the top. Is Mac Jones? Trey Lance? No.
Trey Lance. So you're probably going to have four quarterbacks, three wide receivers, maybe one tight end, maybe two tackles. Do you see any defense go? Maybe one of the corners, maybe Sertan.
It's going to be like 2017 when guys like Derek Barnett and Marshawn Lattimore fell down, like the high end defensive players that weren't like considered elite per se coming out fall down to those teams in the 15 and 20s. And that's where
it's going to be an offensive first round for sure. The first 10 will be heavy. I'd be surprised if there's three defensive players in the first round. Shocked. In the first 10.
Oh, okay. I was like, geez.
Cause like Micah Parsons has a chance to go there, but there's no edge rusher probably worth going in the top 10. No down player worth going in the top 10 on defense. So you're going to see offensive players.
Right, do you think that subdues this wide receiver market then?
It could. That and the tag will subdue the market. Again, if you're a GM, do you want to pay number one wide receiver money for Corey Davis?
No.
Or Juju Smith-Schuster? Or who else is in? There's a couple others in that grouping. Or Will Fuller?
Curtis Samuel we slept on. He's 19 on your list.
The reason I put him in there, because there is a guy who can run, A. And there's a guy who gives you a little bit of versatility in the way you want to use him. He can run all those jet sweeps with him.
How does he end up anywhere other than Jacksonville?
Either him or Rondale Moore should end up in Jacksonville. That's what I think. They should either sign Curtis Samuel or draft Rondale Moore. They need speed. They lack
or both
speed.
I'm just saying, if Urban's going to run his offense in Jacksonville, wouldn't it make a lot of sense to have Curtis Samuel? I mean,
but it's Bevel's offense. It's not going to be Urban's offense, but yeah.
I mean, okay.
Samuel makes sense though.
Okay.
They lack speed.
What kind of, and you could also use him you can use him and LaVisca Chenault in the backfield. You could do some creative stuff with those guys.
Why do you want to get creative when you got Trevor Lawrence throwing the football though?
I'm saying like running the ball.
They need speed. Look, James Robinson had a really good year. They need a speed back too, by the way.
What kind of contract is Curtis Samuel going to command out there?
See, that's the thing. Are you paying him as a number one wide receiver? Oh. But you almost are going to be forced to if he's, if you, I, yeah.
Like 15 million a year for like 4 years, 15 million a year?
Yeah. That's what I mean. You got to be careful. Oh. There's a lot of guys on the market and there's not a lot of money. That's a problem for the wide receivers. And there's a good draft at wide receiver.
Is, I mean, like, is Juju Smith-Schuster going to want, I mean, Keenan Allen money or, I mean, Michael Thomas money? Like,
yeah, he's not going to get that.
No. He might not get Odell Beckham money.
See, if I go down the list of wide receivers, there's flaws in all their games. I think Chris Godwin is the best of them. And if he wasn't with Mike Evans in that offense, I think he'd be even better. He did drop some balls late in the season, but he rarely dropped them during the season. But Allen Robinson, great player, but he's not a guy who can run. He doesn't run that well. He's a big physical guy, 50-50 ball. And then Galladay, you know, you ever see Galladay go over the middle?
No, that's not his thing. He's a deep ball guy.
Yeah. So they all have flaws. They all have flaws.
So what's the max you would pay? I mean, although $15 million a year is, I mean, it's Devontae Adams and or Jarvis Landry money. This market is so screwed up.
They're as good as Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, better than Jarvis Landry, yeah. And better than, like, T.Y. Hilton and Alshon Jeffrey were making $13 million. So, I mean, I think
T.Y. Hilton's on the market right now. Look at his yards per catch last year. T.Y. Hilton he had a bad year and had the best, one of his best years yards per catch.
Because he had a Hall of Fame quarterback thrown to him.
Yeah. A lot of people say Philip Rivers couldn't reach him, remember?
That's right. All right. Guys who are coming off the tag. We already mentioned Dak. You talked about Leonard Williams. I mean, I think you probably have Leonard Williams higher than a lot of other people, but do we need to apologize to Dave Gettleman for the Leonard Williams trade and the resulting production?
Yeah. Because he played well last year. Really well. And also Tomlinson on that defensive line is another guy to keep an eye on. I think there's some good defensive players to go after because I don't think a lot of those guys are going to get tagged.
Okay. What would you give? See, my thing with Gettleman is I feel like he's so invested in his personal security that he's going to try and tag Leonard Williams, pay Saquon Barkley, and then put some pieces around Daniel Jones to try and make a decent playoff run that saves his job this year. Does that seem like a?
Yeah, I think for making a deal for Williams, I think he'll tag him. I do.
If you give up a second round pick for Leonard Williams and you just get like 1 year, like you got to get more than 1 year.
Yeah, I think he'll tag him.
Okay. So Leonard Williams off the books. Brandon Scherff coming off the tag. I don't think Washington can tag him a second time. Can they?
It'd be expensive. They want to work out a deal. I think they'll work out a deal with him.
Okay. And what about Tampa? If they tag Chris Godwin, they can't tag Shaq Barrett.
They're hoping that they can get him at a discount that he wants to come back and play to try and win it again, which that's all well and good until somebody offers you $5 million more. So no. And here's the other thing. He did well in the postseason, but he wasn't as good during the regular season. He was good. He wasn't as good. So what do you pay? How do you pay him? And if Von Miller hit the market, which is a possibility, who commands more, Von Miller or Shaq Barrett?
I mean, you'd rather have Von Miller, right?
I would.
Yeah, Shaq Barrett's been really good, though.
He has been good.
But what if you got Von Miller and Von Miller and Todd Bowles' scheme would be awesome.
But okay, with Barrett, would Von Miller, Barrett, if Von Miller hits the market, then you got
Bud Dupree,
Hassan Reddick. You know, who had a great year last year when he moved outside. You have Trey Hendrickson. And what do you have? 13.5 sacks.
Yep.
I mean, there's some edge rushers in there, and the Saints aren't going to be able to keep Trey Hendrickson. The question with guys like Romeo Okwara is an interesting guy because he's 25 and I have him probably higher than most people. But when you go back and watch him, he pressured the heck out of the quarterback last year and he had 10.5 sacks. That's an intriguing guy because you want the ascending player. You want the guy going up, not the guy going down. So I think he's an interesting guy.
Okay. You have Hendrickson at number 26 and he's only had one full year of production too, or like one full year of playing time too.
And that's the interesting thing. Is he a one hit wonder? You got to be careful with that. And did he benefit entirely from having Cam Jordan on the other side? Now you can say that, but Davenport didn't play the same way that Hendrickson played when he was there. So I think he's never going to be an elite pass rusher. He's going to be one of those guys that gets you 8 to 10 and plays hard every single play.
Okay. And you would you, I mean, you would sign Hendrickson as your, see, the problem is like, you don't want to sign, do you want to sign Bud Dupree as a number one?
Like, see, Bud Dupree's coming off an injury. That's a concern.
And off multiple, like, contract year, like, late.
I think he's a good, I think when Bud Dupree's healthy, he's a darn good player.
Sure. But I'm just saying he's coming off, you know, he played on a 5th-year option and then he played on a franchise tag.
See, that's the thing. There's a couple of guys that are injured. Like, what is Melvin Ingram going to get and what will he give you? Cause he was bad last year, didn't have a sack and missed a bunch of the season. But when he's at his best, that's a good, tough, physical football player who can rush the quarterback. So,
and you can slide him inside too, and he can play there if he needs to, like depending on what your line setup is. But yeah, I mean, isn't he the problem for these older guys? So like Von Miller, is Von trying to take a big bite of the apple now, or does he come back and play? Same thing with Ingram. Do they come and play 1 year, try and have a bounce back season as an older guy, a la Justin Houston or something like that. And then you can go out and get a 2 or 3 year deal with some decent guaranteed money next year when the cap bounces back.
See, yeah. I mean, they could do that too. But here's the thing. Those guys are going to benefit from the fact that the pass rushers in the draft aren't great.
Sure.
Whereas the receivers will get hurt by the fact that there are a lot of receivers in the draft.
And remember, like, to your point, exactly, like, there's a certain amount of money that these teams have allocated to spend in free agency versus draft picks, et cetera. It's lower than normal. And if they're looking at it, they're like, all right, well, screw it. We're not going to pay this receiver. We'll just draft a guy. Let's pay this. Like, we can't get a pass rusher in the draft. Let's pay the pass rusher now and then draft the receiver later.
Correct. So yeah. The one thing always goes, hey, yeah, that's why we do these mock drafts in February before free agency starts. They're hard to do. You don't know who's going to fill holes, who's going to create holes.
Right. Exactly. So we mentioned Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, but the Bucs also have Lavonte David at number 14. I'm a longtime Lavonte David fan. He's like,
he's one of my favorite guys in the league.
He's one of the most underrated players in the history of, or I would say the history of football, but the last 20 years.
Captain of the better than team way back in the day, and he never forgot it. We talk about it all the time. I was one of the only ones that pumped that kid up when he was coming out of Nebraska. And look, I think ideally they'd like to keep him there, but there's going to be some offers on the table. Anybody who wants a good run and chase linebacker who's great in the locker room and great with the other players, that's a perfect addition right there. The problem is he's getting up in the years. What is he now? 30?
He's 33 now.
Yeah. See, So when you start getting into those age issues, that's a concern.
Oh, right, he's only 31.
31. Yeah, I thought so.
For some reason.
No, but that's still,
that's a little older, but you could sign him for a 3 year deal.
Get a 5 year deal and do 3 years of it and get out of it after 3. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And for a team like the Cleveland Browns that have cap space, that need help at the position, that want to, you know, that, you know, you're going up against, you know, the, like the Ravens two times a year and you need linebackers who can, hawk down, you know.
Yeah. I think he'd be a good signing for a lot of teams.
Okay. And then Ndamukong Suh is signing these 1 year deals. Gronk you have at 35. Suh is 81.
Gronk was bad early in the season when he took his body to get in shape and football shape and everything. But by the end of the year, he was playing good football again. He's the same age as Kelsey.
I know. It's crazy. He's not playing anywhere else other than
Tampa. I don't think so. No.
I feel like he said, he's like, I'm playing with Brady unless Tom Brady goes somewhere else after this year. Like
he's playing at Tampa.
Yeah. He's just playing with Brady and he's probably coming back. Like they had
probably Antonio Brown's going back to Tampa too.
You got Brown at 95. I can't see how
nobody's signing him.
Right. And Tom Brady loves him.
Right.
For whatever reason.
He's going back to Tampa.
Leonard Fournette at 98. Is he the odd man out here for Tampa?
Yeah, has to be. I mean, but again, who's going to pay him? Playoff Lenny is a good football player, but he wasn't good. There were times last year where they didn't even want him on the team.
Right. Yeah.
In Tampa. And they didn't want him on the team in Jacksonville. So
they cut him. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I, the only issue is, I guess you're fine going in with Ronald Jones, right?
You could draft a guy.
Yeah, draft another guy. That's fair.
Draft one of the two North Carolina backs.
Yeah, those guys are good. God, those guys.
Both of them. Both of them.
They are. Okay, any other thoughts on – I think Trent Williams goes to Indianapolis.
They have money.
They have money. They have a need. They have to protect Carson Wentz.
Could go to Jacksonville.
Ooh, that would be smart. I mean
because Cam Robinson's an unrestricted free agent who I don't think – I would rather pay Trent Williams for 3 years than pay Cam Robinson, who if that was his contract year last year and that's the best you're going to get, then that wasn't good enough. Here's the other thing, though. And in fairness to Cam Robinson and Jawan Taylor, who regressed last year in Jacksonville, you're playing with a quarterback who held the damn ball the entire time. I mean, my gosh. It's hard to play tackle when you do that.
Justin Simmons, Taylor Moten, guys in your top 10, you think both get tagged? And Joe Tooney
tagged? I don't know if Tooney gets tagged again. I think
Belichick might just have to, like, I mean, he's got it. You got money to spend. You need some, I mean, you can't lose all your good, you know.
I would find a way to keep him, but I don't know if he'll get tagged again.
Okay. Hunter Henry tag again?
Yes. People think so.
Okay.
Yeah, he's only 26.
I know. Who'd you rather have long-term, Hunter Henry or Jonnu Smith?
I think Jonnu Smith's going to get paid in this market.
Ooh. By somebody other than Tennessee?
Yes. I think he's going to be an attractive free agent.
So if you've got like the 13th or 14th overall pick and you don't think you're going to get Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Out and pay Jonnu Smith, who you can this, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're the same guy, but you can like Jonnu Smith, he gets carries out of the backfield.
I think Jonnu Smith can be for a team that has needs a middle of the field threat. I think he'd be good at it. And he's improved as a blocker too.
Does Aaron Jones get paid or does he get franchise tag? Do they franchise tag him or Lindsey?
I don't think they don't have a lot of cap room either.
No, they don't. So is your boy Za'Darius going to get cut? He might.
Preston would get cut before Za'Darius.
Or both of them. Za'Darius saves more money.
Yeah, but Preston, Za'Darius can still make plays. Preston didn't do much of anything last
year. They don't have any money. They got guys.
But the whole idea of drafting A.J. Dillon was the fact that you're going to let Williams go for sure. He's a free agent too. Then you might let Jones go.
Yeah, but Jones is.
Jones is good in their offense. I would find a way to keep Jones if I were them.
Yeah. What about Patrick Peterson? He's going to break news, apparently. Debo says he's going to break news on his podcast in a few weeks. Do you want to guess what that news is? Is he retire? Is he back with the Cardinals? What do you think?
I don't think he's going to get a contract that he thinks he's going to get. I love Patrick Peterson, one of my favorite players that I've ever dealt with in this league, but he didn't play well last year.
No, he did not. Debo. Is it okay that we keep guessing what Patrick Peterson is
going
to do?
Keep going for it. All Things Covered is the podcast.
Yeah, All Things
Covered.
I
think he's going to go back to Arizona.
On a cheap deal and try to just run it back.
Yeah, on a decent deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And just be like, it'll be like the Larry Fitzgerald thing where you pump it up as a lifelong card. And
Right.
It's more than maybe you should get, but the owner, because Bidwell wants to keep him around, et cetera. Is Clowney getting – oh, sorry, Debo, go ahead.
I was just going to say Pat repeatedly has said he will be playing football next year. He wants to play another 5 years. At some point, that could mean a switch to safety. He said he'd be open to that in the future.
He didn't tackle that well as a corner last year.
can't do that, Pete.
I mean, I love Patrick Peterson, but he'd be the first one to tell you he didn't play up to his standards last year.
How about you got Leonard Floyd at 42 and Jadeveon Clowney at 43?
That's teams desperate for a pass rusher are going to push those up. Clowney doesn't do anything for me, but I know how this league looks at him. I wouldn't sign him. And Floyd actually played really well last year in the run game too. So I think Floyd's an intriguing guy. But again, is it the same thing as Dante Fowler?
Yeah, like were you living next to Aaron Donald? And
yeah, and he didn't when he went to Atlanta. He didn't do anything.
That's right. Kevin King, my lord, he's on the list.
You know what though? Kevin King the year before was really good, and he was okay for sometimes the season. He just had a terrible down the stretch.
Are you worried?
Like his mind drifted. I don't know what happened to him. He didn't look like the same player.
Football players got personal stuff going on too. You never know. You know what I mean? Like,
and he's only what, 26. So there's good football left in him.
Should we be worried about the Rams defense? Leonard Floyd, Josh Johnson, and Troy Hill.
That's troubling.
That is troubling.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
Jalen Ramsey,
but they got Ramsey. Williams is a good corner who played well last year, but he's a restricted free. I mean, you should be worried. That's why I think. They have four guys. If I'm not mistaken, the top four guys in salary on their team take up the top three take up $70 million. Donald, look at it. Donald, Ramsey, and Stafford. If I'm not mistaken, they take up $70 million in cap room. Is that correct? Can that be right?
Is that maybe including, yeah, that's right. 42, 59, and then that maybe that includes Jared Goff's dead cap. 70, yeah.
70 million.
It's 80 million if you include Jared Goff, I think.
Yeah, but it's 70 million in three guys. That's a lot, isn't it? What's right? Goff's? What's
49, Goff? So they're 50. Yeah, 70 million. Yeah, you're right. Donald, Ramsey, and Stafford. That is a Stars and Scrubs team.
And so, look, they got to hope that Van Jefferson's good as a wide receiver. They're going to probably have to restructure those receiver contracts. They got to hope they hold up on the offensive line. Yeah, there's issues on that team, no doubt.
Yeah, and they lost their defensive coordinator who, you know, revitalized that defense in a big, big way. All right, any other takeaways?
I think there's some
down back-end the line. Sleepers you got? Who are your back-end sleepers?
I think Tomlinson's going to be a good signing for somebody. I mean, if you look at you know, those kind of guys, they come in and they help teams right away. They're run pluggers. I would look at him. He's at the right age. I'm just trying to look at some of the other guys down the line, guys that I like more than maybe.
Hey, you know what's crazy is just looking at this list, and J.J. Watt was on it. He signed with the Cardinals, obviously. But correct me if I missed. So Ryan Kerrigan, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Alden Smith, Patrick Peterson. Who else am I missing from the 2011 NFL draft? Like, it's pretty crazy how many guys from the, like, a Hall of Fame draft class are on that list.
Richard Sherman?
Oh, Sherman, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Man. Ronald Darby is a guy that I think teams will look at. He really played well last year. You know, down the line, you're talking about down the line guys. Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills played well at safety at the end of last year when he got adjusted to it. Remember, they were going to move him to safety. Then they had injuries at corner. He went over, moved back. I thought he adapted well. Cam Sutton, the cornerback for the Steelers, he's not technically a starter, but because, you know, Mike Hilton's on a restricted free agent too, the nickel corner. But yeah. Last year he played outside. He played inside. He had his best season. I think those are the kind of guys you look for, the younger players. You know, Malik Hooker's an interesting
guy.
That's
what I was about to mention. That dude is a ball hawk when he's healthy, but he just cannot stay healthy.
And he's coming off a torn Achilles. So,
you sign him for like a 1 year, $6 million deal or $5 million deal. I don't know what you're signing for, but you take a stab at him. And if he comes in and he's plays 16 games.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of rangy safeties in the league.
Yeah. Well, who's a good fit for him?
Boy, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. That's a good one.
Sorry, I can't think of anybody that immediately.
I'll tell you who needs it. Jacksonville would be a good fit for him.
Ohio State guy.
Yeah. He recruited him, right? Yeah.
So you go out and you get this is a very Urban Meyer thing to do in free agency, I think, is you go out and sign Trent Williams, who was he Ohio State?
No.
No. Where did he play college?
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, he's Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoma. Yeah, that's right. But you go out and sign Trent Williams as the protector, right? Then you go get Curtis Samuel and Malik Hooker, two guys you know, two guys, Ohio State guys, two guys with a lot of upside who probably wouldn't be that expensive. You got cash to burn. You draft
Jonnu Smith.
And you would have me intrigued by that offense. I would be intrigued by that offense.
If they have an offense with Trent Williams at left tackle, Norwell at left guard, Linder at center, Can at right guard, Taylor at right tackle. You have Jonnu Smith at tight end. You have
DJ Chark, Curtis Samuel, and LaVisca Chenault plus James Robinson and Trevor Lawrence.
And Colin Johnson, who they really like. And then you have Trevor Lawrence and here's the other one. If you sign a couple guys in free agency on defense, because they have the most money in the league, they can sign whatever. Why not draft a speed back at some point in the draft?
Sure.
But ETN,
Sure. If you do all that, you can talk me into that team being better than the Carson Wentz-led Colts.
Right. You guys laugh at me when I said that. They got so much money and so many assets.
Well, you got to do it right.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, that's the key. But, okay, add Rondell Moore instead of Curtis Samuel.
I like Curtis Samuel. I'm saying if that's the plan they take, and it's not crazy, like two Ohio State guys – a move tight end.
Hooker wouldn't cost you a lot of money either.
No.
ideally, in their ideal scenario, in free agency, they get a left tackle, a tight end, and a monster defensive player. Whether the big ticket item is a so if Leonard Williams was free, that would be the guy they would go after. You sign him. He's from down the road in Daytona. He grew up in Daytona Beach. You go get him. But you know, like these again, the quarterback situation is going to play out. Where does Darnold end up? San Francisco.
You think so?
I do.
How does he get to San Francisco?
If they make a deal for him.
So they trade for him because Darnold,
Because they don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. I would personally, if I were the Jets, I would keep Darnold and trade Same. That number two pick and get extra picks. That's what I would do. Because I think he fits with it. And again, I think there's some talk that they're splitting that building on whether to keep him or not.
So in other words, in that scenario, the Jets are like, we are in on Zach Wilson at two. They trade Darnold
to the Niners
for a second round pick
and the Niners trade Garoppolo to the
Pats for a third round pick.
Right.
And then
somehow Carolina either gets one Watson, which I don't think they will, or they draft one at that spot.
Mm, interesting. That's spicy. I like it. Is Mac Jones a top 10 pick?
No. No.
Why are people
doing this? Somebody in the league told me yesterday, I think he's third round talent.
See, why are people doing this? Like, I'm not trying to disparage Ryan Wilson. Ryan Wilson.
Yes, you are, but so am I.
No.
In fact, I'm going to be on a draft show later on with him, and I'm going to disparage the heck out of him.
Do it. Please do. But, like, I told Wilson, plant, like, you know, if you're there, we had Traps, Chris Trapasso on the podcast on Monday. And I was like joking, like, it's Mason Rudolph season if Big Ben's gone. But like, look, he was dead ass wrong. But you know, if you think that and you believe that, you should take a stand. You shouldn't like cave to group think when you're talking about the drafts. Now, having said that, there's a bunch of Mac Jones hype popping up. Like Stephen A. Smith was yelling about the Eagles taking Mac Jones. All of a sudden, Wilson's going to get overshadowed by the other like people screaming louder. And he should have planted his flag louder. I don't want to be on the Mac Jones hill. That's
I watched three Mac Jones games yesterday just because I want to go back and do more work on him. There's a lot to like about him.
Sure.
But not top 10.
No.
And I watched Davis Mills from Stanford three games yesterday. They're eerily similar.
Mm. Would you rather have a fifth round David Mills or a?
He'll go before the fifth round. Keep an eye on him. He's going higher than you think. Okay. That kid was a phenomenal recruit. I don't know if you remember that. He came out of, I think it was Georgia. He was a big time recruit. Everybody wanted him.
Who was the guy that he was going to replace? He was coming in because it was Luck and then,
KJ Costello transferred.
Yeah.
He transferred to Mississippi State.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he's not that good, but Mills, the last, I watched his three games, he was good against Oregon State, and they're not good, but he looked like a really good quarterback. He's solid against Washington. And then I watched the UCLA game. He's got some talent, man. That kid can throw the football.
Right. Pete's early. That's an early, better
that's
than
an team. Early. That's an early one, but yeah. I did watch Trey Lance's game. I haven't watched the games from the year before. I watched Trey Lance against, last year, the one game.
His one game this year, whatever. Like, yeah.
He's a big physical kid, but he's got a weird motion, man. He has a tendency, his upper body's kind of goofy when he throws it, but
I don't think you can take him if you don't have someone to. You can't take him and be like, hey, here's day one. Although Debo wants him to go to Philly.
I think I'm going to watch him. He's working out at a combine down here on Friday, and we're going over there. So I think I'll get to see him if he works out.
All right, do it. We'll have to have you back on to talk about it. In the meantime, make sure and check out Pete's list of top 100 free agents on CBSSports.com. Don't worry. The boss has made him do it early. It'll be rendered irrelevant in 6 days when the franchise tag deadline pops up, or I guess 15 days. But you did a great job on it, as always, Pete, and thanks for chatting.
Yeah.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.